Our friend John Lewis this morning at our first service chose to read the account of the Easter story from the Gospel by Luke. And he read the whole chapter of Luke 24, which is a very interesting chapter. And I just want to lift a phrase from that chapter this morning. What has been capturing my mind about the Easter story and the resurrection is a little phrase that is stated here in Luke 24. When Jesus appeared in the room with the disciples, it says he showed them his hands. What is the significance? What is the implication of Jesus saying to the disciples, "Look at my hands"? Let's just read a few of the verses, just from verse 35, if you want to follow. I'm reading the New Living Translation of the Bible, which is a very helpful translation. It says, "Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, 'Shalom, peace be with you.' But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. 'Why are you frightened?' he asked. 'Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I'm not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do.' And here's my verse for this morning. As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet." He held out his hands. In our culture, contact with people, relationships with one another, is often through our hands. And it's very significant, just the idea of making contact with someone through their hands. I wonder if there's anyone here this morning, and you could boast that you have actually shaken hands with someone from the royal family. Muriel? Ian Hall? He's been everywhere, all over the world, even to Buckingham Palace. But, you know, there might just be a moment in your experience when you can recall. I happened to be in the home of the Queen in Scotland just a few years ago. I got an invite with my wife for dinner in Holyrood Palace. I got it from a charity called the Vine Trust, Amazon Hope. This wonderful charity that has rescued out to people up the Amazon and in different parts of the world now. Willie McPherson, the Church of Scotland minister, and Albert Bogle from Bowness set up this great work of reaching and helping people on the shores of the Amazon River. And one of the years, we went with Albert and Willie, and we went up the Amazon in the Amazon Hope. And we had an interest in that charity, rescuing and helping people in so many ways in Peru. And when they celebrated the 25th anniversary of the Vine Trust, they had a dinner. And their patron for that charity is, of course, Her Royal Highness Princess Anne. She said, "You can have my mum's home for your dinner." And so that was great. And she came herself. So when we are all the guests there, Albert said, "Now, John, you just make sure you stand exactly where I tell you, because I'll drift her past you, and I'll get her to meet someone like you." I said, "That would be great, Albert." And so Kathy and I were just standing waiting, and Albert dutifully brought the Princess Royal past us, and she shook hands. She didn't say a lot, nor did I, but at least we had the pleasure, the privilege, if you like, the honour of shaking hands with someone from the royal family. And it is true, there may be someone that you have in mind who is a celebrity beyond even someone in the royal family you'd like just to shake their hand. I watch, for example, I'm interested a wee bit in golf, and so when the golfers come off having won a tournament, everybody wants to stretch out and just touch them and shake them by the hand, or just make that point of contact. And also with great celebrity singers, people reach out just longing for a moment when they might just touch their hand. But you know, here's the reality of the Easter story for me. One day, I will hold the hand of the King of Kings. And for me, the reality is that Jesus Christ, the King, will reach out and show us his hands. There's an old song that we sing, "One day, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day, that will be." And so I was thinking about this little statement that Jesus said about Jesus in Luke 24. He showed them his hands. What kind of hands? You can tell a man often by his hands. You talk about a working man's hands. They would be ingrained and toughened up and such like. You can tell another person, a jeweler's hands. And all different kinds of people reflect who they are in their hands and through their hands. Jesus had healing hands. If you think of a number of incidents in the story of Jesus and in his life, it says he touched one day a leper. That leper would never forget the touch of Jesus' hand. Because lepers were never in contact with anyone. They were abandoned. They were in quarantine. Nobody wanted to touch a leper. Jesus reached out. Remember the years ago for the HIV/AIDS epidemic was Princess Diana touched someone with AIDS. And so, in a measure, the Lord Jesus, he reached out his hand. He took his hand to raise Peter's mother-in-law from a fever. So many different people that the Lord reached out with healing hands. And then there were life-giving hands. There was a wee girl who was 12 and dead, lying as a corpse in her home. And it says that Jesus took her by the hand and lifted her up, gave her life. The power in Jesus' hands to bring someone back from the dead. They were saving hands. Peter was drowning in the Sea of Galilee. He thought he was going down. And it says in Matthew 14:31 that Jesus reached out his hand and saved him from drowning. And these hands of Jesus are not only healing hands and life-giving hands, they are saving hands. And you know, sometimes the disciples got a bit irritated, as preachers do with children. But you know, the Lord Jesus does that. The Lord Jesus does that. He said, "Bring the children to me." And it says he touched them and he blessed them. The gentle hands of Jesus that indeed embraced children. The last time that Jesus used his hands when he was on earth was to take a piece of bread, a loaf, and break it. And say to his disciples, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you." He took the cup. These hands of Jesus that were so powerful, so, and yet these hands were going to be taken in the garden. There's a lovely old song, Wallace Kirtley used to sing it. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They cried, "Crucify. He's to blame." And so these hands of Jesus, they were nailed to a cross. How significant is it this Easter Sunday morning then to think of Jesus appearing in a room with his disciples in a resurrected body? And one of the key actions of his appearance that day in Luke 24 was to show them his hands. What is the significance of Jesus showing them his hands? Well, very simply, let me try and expand on it. Jesus wanted to show them three things from his hands, as he wants to show us this morning. He wanted to show them the evidence of the cross. He showed them the nail prints in his hand. He showed them not only the evidence of the cross, he showed them the evidence of his resurrection. Because he wanted them to touch his hands. And he wanted to underline the fact that he was real. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. And so when he showed them his hands, they had the evidence not only of the cross, but the evidence of resurrection. But thirdly, and vitally for us this morning, he showed them his hands. He wanted to show them and us the evidence of his love. It's through his hands. And through his, we sing a lovely song, it says, his hands were pierced, the hands that made the mountain clay. And the verses go through, his feet were pierced, his heart was pierced. And the final verse says, all three were pierced. In order to show us his love, he was willing to be pierced on the cross. The evidence in his hands of the cross. The disciples, sometimes we don't recognize or realize, they were just like you and I sitting this morning, ordinary people. They're gathered in this room, they're unnerved by all that's been happening in Jerusalem. The trial, the crucifixion, the whole of the city is in turmoil because of all that's been happening. And to add to the uncertainty, two of the disciples have returned to meet with them, no doubt in a measure in secret, to say, we've seen Jesus. We've met him. We were walking home to our village 7 miles from Jerusalem, and this so-called stranger joined us and walked with us. And then we discover. When and how did they discover? When they were having a meal, and he showed them his hands. And it says their eyes were opened, and they saw and recognized. And so now they return very quickly from their village back to Jerusalem, 7 miles, and they're so excited, and they're so full of energy, they want to tell the disciples of their experience. It's exciting to know Jesus. It's quite a thrill to meet a man that was crucified, buried, and rose again. Sometimes as Christians, we need to get a little more excited about Jesus. I used to have a friend up in Glasgow called George Russell. He said, John, when last did you meet someone excited about Jesus? And so as Christians, we need to declare to the world that he is alive. And we're excited about knowing him. And so this couple, they're sharing with the disciples their experience when suddenly Jesus steps into the room. Shalom. Wow. Peace be to you. If they were frightened and upset before he appeared, they were more so when he did appear. It says they were frightened. They thought it was a ghost. What is it we're seeing as our minds playing tricks with us? Jesus asks them a number of questions. Why are you frightened? Why do you doubt who I am? Then he says, look at my hands. Look at my hands. He held out his hands, and what did they see? They saw the evidence of the cross in his hands. They saw the imprint of a nail that had been driven through his hand. And here is the reality to it this morning. That to all eternity, Jesus will carry in his hand the nail print of Calvary. That evidence of the cross will be with him forever. The marks of Calvary. Even in his resurrected body. That body, the resurrected body of Jesus, is not subject to the same laws of gravity as we are at this present moment. That's obvious from the reading of Scripture. He appeared in a room. He disappeared from a room. And so he's not subject to these same laws. In his resurrected body, he ascended to heaven. And we believe this morning that he's in heaven with his body. bodily resurrection of Jesus is fundamental to Christianity. Here's the question for every one of us this morning. Will you, will I see the nail print in his hand? Why do I ask that question? Because when he appeared in resurrection to meet different disciples, it was only the disciples who saw the nail prints. Those who were in Jerusalem who were not disciples never saw him in resurrection. Only those who are saved, born again, whatever term you want to use, who are genuinely in the family of God through the new birth, only those dear people will see the nail prints. And so Calvary will never be forgotten. If we think of some of these lovely songs, there arose a lamb in Jerusalem. And the songs of heaven will bring glory to the Christ of Calvary. And we will exalt and magnify his name because we're there in heaven because of the cross. For no other reason. Only by the grace of God. You know, sometimes scripture gives us concepts that's very difficult even to fully grasp. There's a verse in Isaiah 49 says, your name is graven on the palm of his hand. Can I say as personally as I can this morning, the nail prints in the hands of Jesus were for you and me personally. He was willing to die on the cross and suffer the agony, not only of the physical sufferings of Jesus, but beyond that, the punishment of a holy God for the sin of the world was poured on Jesus when he went to the cross. And it was for you and for me. Do we appreciate this morning that Calvary was for me personally? He showed them his hands. The evidence, not only of the cross, but the evidence of resurrection. Jesus invited the disciples, touch me, he says. Hold my hand. I'm not a ghost. This is not a mirage. I am real. And so the evidence for the resurrection this morning is overwhelming. If we take the account of scripture that we have, that he appeared to Mary in the garden. It's obvious he appeared to Peter. He appeared at different times to the disciples. He appeared once when Thomas was missing. Then he appeared when Thomas was there. He appeared again. And tonight we'll say something about the disciples having breakfast with Jesus in resurrection, when he was in resurrection, John 21. And so, even beyond that, Paul is careful to tell us that when he ascended, 500 people witnessed his ascension, many of which, says Paul, are still alive today. The witnesses for his resurrection are overwhelming. And of course, the resurrection is so fundamental to Christianity. Perhaps one of the greatest authors that ever wrote books was C.S. Lewis. Outstanding man, unusual in some ways. His biography is fascinating reading. Grew up, of course, in Belfast and became a professor at one of the most prestigious universities down there in London. Was a skeptic, an atheist for many years. Then, of course, thought the thing through and became a Christian. He said on one occasion, in comparing Christianity with other religions, he said, if you take the religion of Hinduism or Buddhism and you remove the miraculous from it, you will leave it unimpaired. If you take Christianity and remove the miraculous, you destroy it completely. For Christianity is the story of a great miracle. And so this morning, we need to be convinced that Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. At this moment, he is in heaven, but His Holy Spirit is here on earth, convincing and leading people to a point of accepting and believing the truth concerning the Lord Jesus. And so the great question for everybody this morning is, all very well on Easter Sunday to announce He is risen, He's alive. Is He real to you, me? Or is it just a story in the Bible? Is it what we teach the children? It's Christianity, Easter time, Christmas time, different times. We just remember these kind of events. But in our heart of hearts this morning, is Jesus real? Can I talk to Him? Does He talk to me? Can I experience a relationship with someone I cannot see? Is He real? And so when I'm driving from Motherwell this morning in the car alone, and I'm praying, am I praying just to myself in the car? Or am I speaking to someone who hears, understands, and answers my prayer? Is Jesus Christ real? He wants to be real. He wants to reach out to you this morning. He wants to show you His hands. He wants you to touch Him. By faith, that is. Not physically, but by faith, to believe that Jesus is real. There was a chorus we used to sing with the children. Put your hand in the hand of the man who walked the water. Has there ever been a moment, friend, in your personal experience, when by faith you've put your hand in the hand of Jesus? You've asked Him to save you, and He has taken a grip of your hand. You see, when you become a Christian and the Lord takes you by the hand, He will never let go of you. Sometimes in life, we let go of Him. And sometimes we feel we're not as close, or we're away from the Lord. But you know, He never lets go of us. He will hold you with His own right. That's the promise of Isaiah 41. He showed them His hands, the evidence of the cross, the evidence of the resurrection, the evidence of His love. And of course, we can show this evidence through our hands, whether it's with a tiny little baby. You reach out and you hold the baby in your hand. And in that way, you demonstrate your love, your care, your interest as you hold someone. Not only with babies and parents and grandparents. It's very special. My son just had a baby a few weeks ago, and everybody wants to hold him in their hands. But even as you grow older, and there's a relationship forming between a young lady and a young man, there is that contact with hands. We express our affection. We demonstrate our love through our hands. And you know, for me, when Jesus appeared in this room to men who had betrayed Him, denied Him, forsook Him, when the moment of crisis comes, not only Judas who betrayed Him, but then Peter denies Him. And it says all the disciples forsook and fled and left Him alone. When He returns in resurrection, it's not to scold them. It's not to rebuke them. It's not to write them off, to say, I thought you fellows would have been with me in my hour of need. He showed them His hands. He says, I love you. I love you. And in His hands, there is an amazing story of love. These nail-scarred hands of Jesus tell me this morning that He loved me. The story is told of a family away in the south of England. There was a fire in the home, and everybody thought everybody was safe, but they discovered the baby was still in an upstairs room. Without any hesitation, out of love for her child, the mother went back in to rescue the baby. And through her own suffering, she rescued the baby out the window, dropped it to safety. But in all that ordeal, she herself was badly burned. And so for the rest of her life, she wore gloves to cover the scars, the ugly hands that had been badly burned. But one day, her little daughter, grown up now, saw her mother without the gloves. "Oh," she said, "Mum, what horrible hands." As she saw the scars, she said, "Let me tell you, these hands were torn for you." And she reminded her of that day when she saved her, and in the saving of her, marked her own hands. Then her daughter, with tears, took the hands into her own hands and kept saying, "They are beautiful hands, beautiful hands." When she understood the cost for her life to be saved was in her mother's hands. One of the hymns that would sing in heaven, did you know, is the old hymn, "By and By, when I look on his hands, nail-riven hands, I'll wish I had given him more." Friend, can I ask you this morning, when that moment comes and we leave this world and join a world above, when we see him, will you see the nail prints in his hand? Will you be there? Because there has been a moment when by faith you've put your hand in his hand and trusted him for salvation.